You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the Treasury released an estimate that New Zealand may need to pay up to $5 billion in overseas carbon credits to honour its Paris Agreement commitments and make up for a shortfall of 84 million tonnes of emissions. Just before this estimate was released, the ACT Party proposed terms for a new nationally determined contribution towards the Paris Agreement and reiterated that if the current NDC could not be changed to these terms, that the country should leave the agreement. Included in their proposition was the recognition of a split gas approach, which treats methane differently, resetting the emissions reductions plan around more realistic targets, and keeping agriculture out of the emissions trading scheme. Also last week, Energy Minister Simeon Brown announced that the government will back down on plans to pay for a liquefied natural gas import terminal for a levy after public backlash about consumer cost. The government has said it still wants to go ahead with the facility, but has yet to announce an alternative funding model. Finally, Labour announced a new election public transport fees cap policy of $20 in Auckland, Christchurch and Wellington, and $10 elsewhere last week. And Transport Minister Chris Bishop responded by suggesting the government could instead use funds to increase bus and train services in peak times. For this week's catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about each of these issues, beginning with discussions over his party's NDC proposal. Last week, ACT proposed a new nationally determined contribution for the country's delivery of the Paris Agreement's goals. And in this, NDC was recognising a split gas approach and generally keeping the agricultural sector away from the Paris targets. The government already lowered methane targets last year. Why does the ACT Party feel like agriculture needs further protection in this sense?
Well, that's because New Zealand's emissions profile is different. We produce a lot of food very efficiently, and that does produce and involve biogenic methane. But what we do know is that most of that methane is actually recirculated back into the natural system, and so it's not a long-lived gas like carbon dioxide. So what ACT is proposing is that methane from livestock should be treated differently from carbon in fossil fuels. And what we're advocating is for a split gas approach to our nationally determined contribution, which continues to focus on reducing long-lived gases and manage methane in a different way, which is essentially saying, and what the government has landed on domestically, we've already, as you've mentioned, changed the law to accommodate this, is that as long as we can be satisfied that methane from New Zealand's agricultural sector is not increasing global warming, then we should follow through by updating our Paris climate commitment to reflect what we've already decided to do domestically.
Also last week, it was announced by the Treasury there was a new estimate that New Zealand may have to spend up to $5 billion to pay for the overseas carbon credits if we want to honour our Paris Agreement commitments. The ACT Party has said that if the NDCs can't be changed to your proposal, that the country should leave the agreement. But the Paris Agreement does have quite a large impact on our trade, particularly with the EU. Does this feel like New Zealand's stuck in a bit between a rock and a hard place?
Yeah, well, the current targets were actually set under a previous government by James Shaw with the support of Jacinda Ardern and what you might call the peak climate emergency. It's quite clear that most of the world has moved on from that thinking. That's why we're focused on energy resilience and security of supply, supporting our farmers to be the most efficient food producers in the world. But when it comes to what Treasury said, if a future government is demonstrated not to have achieved a target that James Shaw said we should try and achieve back in 2021, nobody in the New Zealand government, whether it's the current coalition or a future government, is going to be writing out a cheque for somewhere around $5 billion to the UN. That's never going to happen. And if it became a matter where New Zealand was subject to some kind of trade sanctions because we failed to cough up the money, I think what you'd find very quickly is that the EU and many of the other signatories to the Paris Climate Accord would also be in a similar position to New Zealand, and so it's highly unlikely that these things would end up being enforced.
I suppose I was trying to more focus on the idea that X presented that we should maybe look at leaving the Paris Agreement. And it is in our EU free trade agreement quite explicitly that, you know, we have to try honour those commitments and be in the Paris Agreement. Do you think that would have any impact?
Look, I think the EU would definitely have a perspective on whether New Zealand is doing its best to achieve its targets. And when you look at that agreement and others that New Zealand has signed, it is about best endeavours. You know, there has to be recognition that over time, as we try to achieve an emissions reduction in different parts of the economy, we're going to be able to make faster or slower progress on that depending on our own economic situation and depending on the technologies that are available. So I would trust that the UN will be a faithful trade partner and will want to look at whether New Zealand's trying its best, whether or not we are actually able to achieve a target set essentially as an aspirational target to reduce New Zealand's emissions by half by 2030, in only 9 years, whether we've achieved that or whether we're doing our best. I'm sure the EU would take a magnanimous approach to that.
So moving on, last week, Energy Minister Simeon Brown announced that the proposed levy to pay for the new liquefied natural gas facility is going to be dropped after backlash. The government said it still has plans to go ahead with the facility, but hasn't announced an alternative funding model beyond working with Gentailers. How is the government going to find the billions of dollars needed for this facility and ensure the price isn't passed on to consumers?
Well, you're right. The government has ruled out a levy on power bills, and that's welcome. But there is still a cost to be paid somewhere as the LNG facility progresses. So ACT will be watching closely to make sure that consumers are not charged through the back door for something that they may only be partly responsible for paying for. Because one of the benefits of having an LNG terminal is that we get to import natural gas to New Zealand that also supports our industrial sector. So I'm talking, for example, like baking the bread that you get in your supermarket, that is all made in very, very large industrial gas ovens that cannot be readily converted to electricity. That there is nothing comparable in the world that runs on electricity. So as a result, we're always going to need industrial gas for that type of activity. Or either that, or you pay a whole lot more for tiny loaves of bread baked in an electric oven, or you get your bread a week late and a bit mouldy from Australia, because if we can't bake it here with gas, you know, what are the alternatives? They're very few and none of them are good. So look, you know, ACT will be looking out to make sure, looking out for consumers. That's in our brand. The ACT is the Association of Consumers and Taxpayers. We also want to make sure the taxpayers aren't on the hook for something that gas users across the board should have a stake in making sure they have security of supply.
Yeah, speaking about that, Meridian Energy has reversed its support for the facility, saying that it's not needed to cover dry year supply shortages, which is often the justification used for it. This with the unreliability of imported gas prices we've seen recently, is it difficult to really justify this facility at the moment?
Well, we've got to look through the changes in the spot market price and for natural gas. Now, getting gas on a long-term contract price for New Zealand will give us security of supply at a fixed or known price well into the future. That's really important because it means if you are in the business of, say, baking bread for consumers and you want to upgrade your facilities, upgrade your manufacturing equipment, you'll know what price you can get gas at and that it will be available well into the future. So it's important that we have that. But coming back to Meridian's proposal, look, Meridian claims to be 100% renewable, and yet that's a business that relies heavily on being able to get contracts with coal-fired and gas-fired generators to cover them in the event of dry year risk, because that's essentially what the LNG terminal, what the starting point for LNG is in New Zealand. When the wind doesn't blow, the sun doesn't shine, the rain doesn't fall, and that contributes to a months-long or multi-year situation where we don't have enough reserves in our renewables, that's when you need gas and coal in particular. So Meridian benefits from that already. And one other thing I'd point out about Meridian, they've applied for a fast-track consent application to further lower the lake levels in some of the lakes that they control with their hydro dams and lower them to a point that actually would use up all the reserve energy storage in those lakes, and they want to be able to use that on a regular basis. And, you know, some people in the sector have said, in the energy sector have said, hey, that's completely inappropriate. You know, Transpower sets minimum lake levels for a good reason, so we have security in the event of a serious failure or outage somewhere else in the system. So, you know, look, I would say that Meridian is putting a shine on their own position, but most New Zealanders will continue to rely on gas and to some extent coal to ensure our security of supply well into the future.
And finally, last week, Labor announced a new election policy for the public transport fare cap. And in response, Transport Minister Chris Bishop has criticised the subsidies, but instead floated an idea of spending money to increase public transport services. Does ACT support either of these ideas or expect to introduce any new policy on public transport?
Well, look, ACT supports policy that makes the most efficient use of any taxpayer funding that goes into public transport. Because, you know, if you've got services that are really full at peak times, I live in Auckland and I hear from, you know, family members and friends that come from the North Shore who say sometimes they're waiting, you know, a long time, up to 30 or 40 minutes for a bus in the morning or returning home in the evening because services on the Northern Express are already oversubscribed. It doesn't make any sense simply to make that fare cheaper when an obvious response to demand is to increase supply. So ACT would always be interested in looking at proposals that come from transport officials about increasing supply. And of course, Auckland Council is going to be taking over Auckland Transport and then establishing a new council-controlled organisation to run public transport, which will have its own significant incentives to make sure it gets as many people on PT as possible on a daily basis and also recovers as much of the reasonable cost from those public transport users that they can. So, look, I mean, ACT would not support a blanket $20 a week fare for all users, including, you know, people who can actually afford to pay for PT. We want to make sure there's enough buses and trains on the network to satisfy peak demand. That's far more important.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about a proposed nationally determined contribution towards the Paris Agreement, funding for the liquefied natural gas import terminal, and new public transport policy.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.